Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Facebook has confirmed that at least 200 million phone numbers from members have been exposed in an online database. It could be more than twice than that. An estimated 600,000 GPS trackers for monitoring the location of kids, seniors, and pets contain vulnerabilities that open users up to a host of creepy attacks. To protect query privacy, Mozilla will begin a slow rollout of DNS over HTTPS by default in its Firefox browser at the end of the month, moving all DNS queries to Cloudflare. And a blind man has helped develop a smart cane that uses Google Maps and sensors to navigate the world. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Facebook has confirmed that at least 200 million phone numbers from members have been exposed in an online database. It could be more than twice than that. Yes, we took a break from Facebook's weekly data leaks these past few weeks, but we weren't joking when we said it continues to happen. The company said that it is now investigating, trying to figure out who compiled this database of anywhere from 200 to 400 million phone records, leaving it online unprotected. It's not believed to have been compiled or put there by Facebook. The database of telephone numbers and Facebook IDs was discovered on an unprotected web server and was not password protected. The database was taken offline after the news site TechCrunch reported the issue to the web hosting company. In April 2018, Facebook switched off a feature that let people search for other users by typing in their phone number. The company said malicious actors abused the feature by typing in millions of phone numbers to find out who owned them. It said that they had been harvesting profiles and phone numbers for years by abusing the search tool, and that anybody who had not changed their privacy settings after adding their phone number should assume their information had been harvested.
Okay. So understand how this happens, right? Like, you know that checkbox that says allow people to find me by my phone number?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So 0000001 0000002, and just cycle through, right? Write a bot to do that. And boom, it harvests all these. So it's not a data breach per se. It's that checkbox that allows them to find you if they know your phone number allowed anyone to harvest based on
exactly.
bots. Just spy. It's like the bot dialers, right? Angel dialers, they call them.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah. So remember when we used to get a lot of solicitor calls and it was just random?
Used to?
Well, it shouldn't be too high now, but then again, I'm on Magic Jack, so
I would say at least once a week I get a call from the Canada Revenue Agency.
Oh,
there's
sure.
a warrant for your arrest.
Yeah, but that Jeff, you've got to take that one seriously.
And then there's always the guy
legit.
Calling to
exactly.
clean my ducks, and I let him know that all I've got is geese.
Ah.
And he doesn't figure that one out.
Couldn't figure it out?
No.
You're on Bell, then?
No, Virgin.
Virgin?
Yep.
Some kind of... So I just use Magic Jack.
Yeah, I know.
And we've changed our number before. It's just a button
I will say...
You just log in and push a button, and it gives you a new phone number.
It does not happen with Magic Jack, because we have Magic Jack for our home address. We have since 2010.
Yeah.
And I've never once had a spam call on it.
I have, but you can block them. You can just log in again into the interface on the website.
I don't have them blocked, and I've never had it. Never had
good.
One. So, I mean...
Yeah, it's fairly rare.
I'd like to know who put their phone number on Facebook.
A lot of people.
You
do.
Have to in order to authenticate your account.
Oh, really?
Yep.
At one point, you didn't have to.
I don't think I had to.
If you signed up a long time.
Yeah. Well, you are not on Facebook.
Now I am not on Facebook, so I can't check.
Yeah.
But I don't
but
think
I
phone
think
number was on Facebook.
I could be wrong. I mean, I've only ever signed up for Facebook on an app.
Mm.
I think if you do it on the web, you don't require a cell phone. Because obviously, they can't text your cell phone and be like, oh, is this correct?
Yeah.
I think. But I could be wrong. I don't know.
It was a security concern. I'm pretty sure I raised it on the show before.
Yeah.
How Facebook was forcing people to provide phone numbers in order to confirm that they are who they are. And that's fairly common practice. YouTube is the same. You cannot be a YouTube creator without providing a cell phone number.
Oh,
not even a
home
number.
You can't even just have a landline.
They have to be able to SMS you. Now they
really
well, you can activate it with a home phone, like with a phone number, and the robot will call you and say, "This is Google. Your authentication code is."
Huh.
So yes, my mistake. Yeah, you can do that. However, in my case, I had already done that a few times with other accounts, and so my personal phone number was maxed out. Like, you're allowed to do it 4 times or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like activating Windows. You can only do it 100 times? Come on now.
Right.
Yes, of course I only have one computer running Windows 10. Yeah.
Oh.
Software piracy.
Yeah. An estimated 600,000 GPS trackers for monitoring the location of kids, seniors, and pets containing vulnerabilities that open users up to a host of creepy attacks. The $25 to $50 devices are small enough to wear on a necklace or stash in a pocket or car dash compartment. Many also include cameras and microphones. They're marketed on Amazon and other online stores as inexpensive ways to help keep kids, seniors, and pets safe. Ignoring the ethics of attaching a spying device on people that we love, there's another reason for skepticism. Vulnerabilities in the T8 Mini GPS tracker locator and almost 30 similar model brands from the same manufacturer, Shenzhen i365 Tech, makes users vulnerable to eavesdropping, spying, and spoofing attacks that falsify users' true location. Researchers at a vast threat lab found that ID numbers assigned to each device were based on its International Mobile Equipment Identity, or IMEI. Even worse, during the manufacturing, devices were assigned precisely the same default password of 123456. The design allowed the researchers to find more than 600,000 devices actively being used in the wild with that password. And as if that wasn't bad enough, the devices transmitted all data in plain text using commands that were easy to reverse engineer. The result? People who are on the same network as the smartphone or web-based app can monitor or modify sensitive traffic. One command that might come in handy sends a text message to a phone of the attacker's choice. An attacker can use it to obtain the phone number tied to a specific account. From there, attackers on the same network could change the GPS coordinates the tracker was reporting or force the device to call a number of the attacker's choice and broadcast any sound within range of its microphone. Other commands allow devices to return to their original factory settings, including the default password, or to install an attacker-chosen firmware. And for those of us familiar with man-in-the-middle attacks, here's a scary one. A simple command allows attackers to change the IP address of the server that the tracker communicates with. The researchers said that they privately notified the vendor of the T8 Mini GPS tracker of the vulnerabilities on June 24th and never got a response. So.
I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Do you think it's by design?
Oh, Jeff, don't go there. No, it's stupidity and cheap product.
I'm going to say it's for monitoring.
No. Because a proper monitoring solution that you're alluding to, that I know you're alluding to, is going to be encrypted and
they're
going to
be
hidden.
Way sneakier.
The data is going to be hidden in packets.
This is just
going
silly.
To some server.
I mean, you could be right, and maybe I'm just like, you know, going into the dark conspiracy theories of my mind, but to have something that simple, all the same password, like so easy, to me, that is a inferior product that they said, let's leave this open to be able to collect the data, access from anywhere. I don't buy it.
I can't see that as a mistake. No, I'm not. I like to think that people are inherently good.
Yes.
No matter what culture they're from, no matter what background they're from, that's what I believe.
I actually could see the benefit of these if properly.
Right.
I can see the good in it. And it appeals to me. Like, it appeals to me to have
Alzheimer's patients.
Exactly.
Sure.
Like, people who are wander risks, they think that they're going somewhere that, I mean, they think they're going home and they're living in a completely different city.
Yeah.
And they're just wandering down the street. And it's a panic until you find them.
We've had tragedies. I mean, we're up here in Canada. We've had winter tragedies where somebody has gone lost from a retirement home, and they found them out in the middle of the ice months later, and it's tragic. And like these kind of this is somebody has created a wonderful idea.
Yes.
But didn't have the knowledge or the financial backing to implement it correctly, because it can cost tens of thousands and more to be able to develop the software correctly.
So what I hope doesn't happen is I hope that they don't take a story like this and have a fear for a tool like this in general.
Right.
Because used correctly, in a safe, secure way, this could really help keep you know, people at risk safe, including pets, right?
Sure, yeah.
It can help.
Jeff doesn't want to believe it.
I
believe.
Here's why I don't believe it.
Okay.
No response.
Again.
If you are a...
If I can back up just a second. From my eyes, this could be a company that has developed a really cool product, and they... Who knows what their company is like? It could be a startup. It could be...
But they've sold a ton of
units. Is a Shenzhen company. So we know this is a Chinese company. And how many Chinese companies are there?
Lots.
Good luck getting a hold of one of them in an event of a support issue.
Right.
If there's five people working for the company, they've built something really cool. They unfortunately have sold 250,000 of them. And
a great idea.
It's a great idea.
But
they've done it incorrectly from a security perspective.
Still not buying it. I'm sorry. The fact that you can log in and change even the reporting IP address tells me just how flexible the back-end software is. And if that's the case, they should be able to push an update or do something.
Let's just say that the person who does that has to be pretty knowledgeable about tech. And there's two things that I know about humanity. One, everybody's born good.
Yes.
And two, everybody's born stupid.
Yes.
And
we
have to learn.
Get past that.
We have to learn two things. One, to ignore bad and remain good, and to become intelligent.
Yeah.
And by intelligence is relative, and knowledge is what I'm referring to.
Right.
So
yes.
So the person who developed this product, or persons who developed this product, I believe are going to be good. Their intentions are good. That's my personal belief, because that's what I would, I'd rather believe about the world.
It's almost like they had a great raw idea, and they took that idea and they just plopped it into the market, as opposed to polishing it, making it secure. It's almost like
you see it all the
they
time.
Released it in step one, and it needed to go through another 20 steps.
Or, I have the great idea, I don't know how to program, I'm going to hire somebody fresh out of school who has no idea about cybersecurity.
Yeah,
and they're going to be the ones to do it, because they can do it cheaper.
I would love these things. Like,
that
I just
too.
To have one in my car would be great as a security factor, right? So that if my car ever gets stolen, I can always, not that my car is going to get stolen, it's tiny, but then I could track it. Or on my person, so that if I get stolen, somebody can track me.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you got the app? All right.
What do you
think?
I'm glad you guys are, you know, like positive thinkers. I think this is totally by design, and nobody wants to admit it.
And this is why
I don't believe that for a second.
And then disagree with it.
You don't have to believe it.
Who do you
agree with me?
Who do you agree with? Is this deep, dark, evil monitoring, tracking, trying to find out who went to the ice cream shop today in America? Or, so that's Jeff's opinion, or is it just somebody who probably hired some student to do the coding for them because they have a great product idea, and that student didn't have any clue about cybersecurity and didn't know that they need to encrypt that data and encrypt that traffic, and for goodness sake, use a hashed password, and it's not 123456?
Yeah.
Who's right?
That's like from
Spaceballs. It's up to you to decide.
Okay. To protect query privacy, Mozilla will begin a slow rollout of DNS over HTTPS by default in its Firefox browser by the end of the month, moving all DNS queries to Cloudflare. Under development since 2017, DNS over HTTPS, known as DOH for short, transfers domain name queries, which try to match domain names with server IP addresses over a secure encrypted HTTPS connection to a DNS server, rather than via an unprotected, unencrypted, bog standard DNS connection. This extra layer of security ideally prevents third parties, such as network service providers, from easily seeing the website's internet users visit and prevents miscreants from tampering with domain name lookups. Though DOH provides much more privacy than the status quo, it's controversial where a lack of privacy is assumed or required, such as monitored environments that insist on content filtering, among other reasons. Back in July, the UK Internet Service Providers Association nominated Mozilla for its Internet Villain of the Year award because DOH breaks DNS-based content filters put in place to deny access to explicit, obscene, or otherwise objectionable websites. A few days later, the trade group reversed itself after fallout from users. It's been claimed that DOH will make it easier for people to avoid network-based content filtering. Mozilla maintains that DOH improves overall internet security. Although Firefox's DOH service will be provided through Cloudflare's 1.1.1.1 DNS service at first, the list of supported service providers may grow over time.
Mm-hmm.
So...
this is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
When Google forced every web designer and web host to go HTTPS,
mm-hmm.
there's the understanding that this is more secure. This is more safe. My data being sent and received from that server is now encrypted.
Right.
But when Google did that, they also made it so that other search engines who track traffic in order to provide accurate results instead of PageRank are no longer viable. Their entire infrastructure now does not work because Google has made the internet HTTPS. So right. We don't see the fallout of a decision that they put under the guise that this is a security thing. Now, Firefox forcing DNS to be HTTPS based. It sounds like, from a security perspective, this is a great idea. Now, my internet service provider doesn't know that I am going to category5.tv when I go there.
Right.
Because the DNS lookup is happening at an encrypted level, and all that happens, the transaction, is IP based.
Yes.
So, do you think this could be related to a fallout from things like illegal downloads? Like, could this be used?
What's the big picture? Mozilla have an ulterior motive, like Google with HTTPS?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Like, I mean, I think of the case about, was it 6-7 years ago, where a bunch of people downloaded the Hurt Locker, and suddenly they got legal letters saying, your IP was tracked downloading this.
Right.
So is it possible that by doing this, you can plausibly deny and say, I never went there?
Well, we can say that the DNS encryption is protecting us as users. Sure,
right.
It is. It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a daddy. And I have a pie hole.
Yes, okay.
Okay. I have a pie hole on my network that blocks advertising of all types, whether it's pornographic or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
And my pie hole is subscribed, so this is a DNS filtration device. My pie hole also is subscribed to pornography lists.
Yes.
And adult content and gambling sites and all those kinds of things. So that my kids, not anything more than to protect them.
Right.
Now,
so they don't accidentally stumble on something that they...
Exactly.
Wouldn't want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tragically, this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Downloading an MP3 file, Googling to download a particular song.
Yeah, it happens.
A pornographic ad pops up.
Yes.
From Google. Like, yep. It shouldn't happen, but it does. So as a dad, I want to protect my kids. So I have that in place. Now, what Mozilla is saying to me is we're going to roll out an update that is going to change your computers, including my son's laptop and my daughter's laptop and my 8-year-old's laptop. They all have laptops. They're so freaking spoiled. They're going to change the settings on their laptops so that it bypasses daddy's protection and instead lets them see all those things.
That blows my mind.
And but presents it to them.
That's if you use Firefox.
That's if you use Firefox.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Firefox, Ice Weasel, goodbye.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, because I feel, and I'm, this is just complete layman's perspective.
Okay.
I do know that in the past, for various places that I've worked, they have had internet blockers.
Sure. So DNS that, blockers.
So that you cannot use the internet at all. However, Firefox in the past worked for us. And so there was some staff who were like, we're just going to bypass that because we get Firefox.
Because Firefox is using an external DNS server.
Right.
Yeah. So, and Chrome does too. Chrome by default may or may not use an external DNS server.
Right, but in this case, Chrome wouldn't work. So has this always been kind of a thing with Firefox where they've kind of pushed that edge a little bit more? Because, I mean, I'm going back 10 years.
What I want to go back to, Jeff, is the days when my operating system determines my DNS servers.
Fair enough. Yes.
Okay? Think about that for a second. My browser, my BitTorrent software, the programs that I use to aggregate my RSS feeds, those programs have no right, from my perspective, to administer my DNS settings.
Correct.
Thank you. Who should set the DNS settings but me?
I agree.
And those programs should honor that. And should, like, forcibly honor that. If they try to override it, guess what? Firefox is off of all of the computers that I own.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I think, though, we live in a day and age where people are not tech savvy.
That's the problem.
I know, but they love their tech.
And I say that with all due respect,
yep.
Because you don't know that this is happening to you. Well,
exactly. And so I think when Facebook first came out with their whole, we're going to reveal everything to the world unless you say don't, that changed the internet game.
Yeah.
And so we've now seen tech companies go, oh, I don't have to follow those social construct rules that I did before. All right, we're going to change it up and we're going to do it this way. And so tech is now deciding how our lives live as opposed to us deciding how tech is supposed to operate. Mm. And that's just a change in society. We've allowed it to happen. And the more tech we use with the less oversight, the more they can get away with this stuff. And people don't care. They want to know, when I turn it on, does it work? That's a problem.
Yeah. And in this case, Mozilla is making the decision, saying it's more important to the users that they know that their internet service provider is not listening than the user having control over the content that their children sees.
Yep.
And that's an assumption that I don't think the web browser developers should have the right to make.
I agree.
That's my opinion.
Look at that. Unanimous. What is yours? We agree.
Unanimous. Exactly.
What?
That's how we end a season.
And that's it. Yeah. Only comment below if you agree with us as well.
No, just comment. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A blind man has helped develop a smart cane that uses Google Maps and sensors to navigate the world. Cities are difficult to navigate at the best of times, but for people who are visually impaired, they can be like an obstacle course and a maze wrapped into one. A UK national travel survey found that adults with mobility difficulties took 39% fewer trips than those with no disability in 2017. Now, a new smart cane is set to change that by revolutionizing the way blind people can navigate the world. In order to guide its users around both low-hanging objects and obstacles above chest level, the WeWalk smart cane uses ultrasonic sensors to warn of nearby impediments through vibrations in the handle. The cane, designed by engineers from Young Guru Academy, or YGA, in Turkey, can also be paired with the WeWalk smartphone app via Bluetooth. Using the touchpad controls on the smart cane, the user can control their smartphone without taking it out of their pocket, leaving one hand free for other tasks. The tech doesn't stop there, though. Native integration with Voice Assistant and Google Maps software enables the cane to use its built-in speakers to inform the user of nearby stores and infrastructural details that they may not be able to see. WeWalk CEO and co-founder Kursat Silan, who is also blind, says that he helped to develop the cane out of a desire to use modern technology as a tool for the visually impaired. In a world where there's talk of flying cars, he can't get his head around why blind people are still just using a stick to get around. He says, quote, "As a blind person, when I'm at the metro station, I don't know which is my exit. I don't know which bus is approaching or which stores are around me. That kind of information can be provided with the WeWalk," end quote. Currently, the startup sells the WeWalk for about $500. Of course, as they gain momentum, the price may change, but the features will also continue to be improved and enhanced.
I love it.
This is cool.
Yeah. This is a pretty big deal for me. I love stories like this.
Well, and I mean, you deal with a lot of elderly patients.
Yes.
How many of them are visually impaired?
Sasha's a personal support worker, yes. A care worker with
and
the elderly.
And I do have personal clients who are visually impaired and or completely legally blind.
Right.
I feel as though even inside the house, the WeWalk cane would be of so much use.
Right.
We have a place in town called Five Points.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It's called Five Points for a reason. It's five intersections that come together at one point.
And
it's difficult to drive through it, let alone walk through it.
Well, my wife and I never really go into that end of town, but we did for a social gathering for family just recently. And at Five Points, now, when it's time to walk, there's a beep, 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 beep for the visually impaired that tells them it's time to start walking out into the Five Points.
Yes.
Two people ran a red light in front of us.
Oh!
Two people.
Yeah.
And I looked at my wife and I said, if you were blind, like hearing this beep, 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 beep telling me it's safe, how would I know?
Exactly.
Two people right in front of us.
That's a bigger social issue, though, because I see red light running all the time.
But this uses ultrasonic waves, okay? So it senses movement and something coming at you and can vibrate and say, okay, stop.
Yes.
Right? From a smart cane. I love that.
You know, the other thing that I thought of while reading the story is, you know the glasses?
Google Glass.
The Google Glass.
It's like a blind version of that.
Right. So if you put Google, as somebody who's legally blind but with not complete vision loss, but if you put Google Glass on and had the cane, then like major signs and stuff could show up in really high definition in your Google Glass as well. Right? Because everything's integrated. I've seen people with the modified readers where they slide the paper under the thing and it projects it really large.
Yes.
Well, if that was happening integrated with the cane and the glasses.
I'm curious to know. Yeah, I don't know if someone who's that visually impaired could use Google Glass because it is still a small apparatus.
Right, but would it not fill your whole visual field if programmed to do
so?
Know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because
anyone with experience with Google Glass, I'd love to know.
Right.
Regardless, this is a cool story.
This opens up the world to people.
Yeah.
Like it's game-changing. To even have the confidence to go check your mail yourself.
Yeah.
Right? I get to somebody's house sometimes, and I have to go and check to see if their mail at the front of the house has been delivered.
Sure.
Because they can't get out themselves to do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, just the independence of being able to do something as simple as that?
Sure.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, the whole point of accessibility is to remove those barriers that prevents people from normal life. And so something like this is a huge accessibility device, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And $500 is not that big a deal.
No. Think about the cost of a seeing eye dog.
Well, exactly,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, just to put just a little spin on it. But,
yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, give the dog a break for just an afternoon and go for a walk with your WeWalk, you
exactly.
know, and it'll tell you where the stores are, and, you know, dog can't do that.
Exactly.
Hey, there you go. You mentioned that you could have one hand free, so you've got your dog.
Yes.
And you've got your cane. You've got the brains of the dog and everything that comes with that, and the smarts from like the smart
the informational
smarts of yeah. Google Assistant.
Who would tell you when you were approaching your bus stop and whether or not the bus was on
yeah,
time
which
or
bus
late.
Is it? This is bus exactly. that's going to the mall yeah. or the one that's going to your house.
Exactly.
Right?
That's cool.
That's very
like
clever. And I love what he said, which is, why are we still using a stick?
It's
yeah.
so
like,
true.
Let's smarten things up here, folks.
Yep.
All right, I've got to take a look at CoinGecko. Here's what the crypto market looked like. As of 1800 hours Eastern time on Wednesday, September 11th, 2019, Bitcoin is a loser this week, losing $512.71 U.S. Still holding pretty strong, though, at $10,103.22 U.S. Facebook Libra still not trading. Litecoin is at $68.71 U.S. dollars. Ethereum at $176.85. Monero has gained very little at $73.01. I mean, everything is pretty static right now. Scala, aka Torque, aka Stellite, is down to 0.55. I think they're losing some market confidence with all the changes and everything, and people are not sure where to go. Turtlecoin is also down a little bit at 0.32 ten thousandths of a cent. Scala was 0.55 ten thousandths of a cent. Remember, the cryptocurrency market is always changing. It's volatile, and it is never going to close. So it's a 24/7 market. So when you go to bed at, say, 10 o'clock at night, the market is still changing. So, you know, you can't possibly be on top of the cryptocurrency markets as a trading mechanism. So whenever you invest, whenever you decide to put something into the cryptocurrency market, our recommendation here at Category 5 is to only invest what you're willing to lose. And we wish you well with that.
Yep.
And we do have a tip jar if you do well. So keep that in the back of your mind.
That's right. If you haven't lost your money in the Bitcoin, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
And I'm Robbie Ferguson.
And I'm Jeff Weston.